Good morning. Lots of announcements today, so bear with me. Today, Uno de Mayo is our church picnic. If the camera panned, you notice everybody is dressed a little more casually, which that's appropriate for picnics. That will be immediately after worship service today. A clarification on the calendar. Session will meet May 15, not the subsequent Sunday, so May 15. Let's see, preschool is hiring an administrative assistant and a full-time TWOS teacher. So if you know of somebody that's interested, contact Ashley Smith or Sandy Kelly. Phone number is 936-634-4769. Tuesday evening, the Centering Prayer Group is continuing to meet. That's in the parlor, so come and join us for that. It's very interesting. The BBBBS, Bible and Brown Bag Bible Study, is meeting on Wednesdays at noon. That will be next Wednesday. So it's also being broadcast via Zoom, so if you need that link, contact the church secretary for that. May 5th is the National Day of Prayer. That will be at noon at the Convention Center Amphitheater. Family Fun Night, May 6th, is a night of fun starting at 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall. VBS, Vacation Bible Study, is going to be June 4th. Anyone interested in helping, contact Mary Leah Duran for that. May 7th is the installation of a sister church up in Nacogdoches, Westminster. Typically, we would have some folks that are interested to go for that installation. If you're interested in going, contact the church office and they will connect you with me. I'll be going, but we've done that in the past. The Boy Scouts Chicken Barbecue and Garage Sale is also Saturday the 7th. That will be here from 11 to 2. Boy Scouts are saying if you have any donations for the garage sale, please contact probably Ted Slemons is the key contact on that. And then finally, in addition to the prayer request, our nursery attendant, Maria Wynn's father was killed in a car crash, so add him and their family to the prayer list. And that should do it. Thank you.
Let us begin with prayer. Holy and righteous God, you raised Christ from the dead and glorified him at your right hand. Let the words of the scripture fulfilled in Jesus Christ your Son burn within our hearts and open our minds to recognize him in the breaking of bread. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as you're able for the call to worship. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead.
Hallelujah.
Blessing and honor and glory and might be to God forever and ever.
Hallelujah.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us worship God. Please turn for the first song in the Glory to God hymnal to number 826, Lift High the Cross. Proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us to wash away our sins. Because we have faith in Him, we dare to approach the throne of God with confidence, asking for forgiveness of our sins. So in faith and in penitence, let us go to the throne of God using first the prayer of confession printed in the bulletin and then praying together in silence. Let us pray. Generous God, in Jesus you have shown us love, love that seeks, love that suffers, love that survives all things. You call us, even command us, to show that love in our lives. Yet we turn away from what you would have us do. We confess that the ways of love are not our ways. We deny and ignore, hurt and hate, despise and reject. Have mercy on us. Help us to receive your love so that we can love others. Help us to receive your love so that we can love ourselves. Amen. Hear the good news. Who's in a position to condemn us? Only Christ. Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. And Christ prays for us. So hear the good news and believe that in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, our sins are forgiven. We're new creatures able to live together in peace and in love. So now, as grateful, forgiven Christians, let's stand together and sing glory to God. Receive the peace of God's forgiveness. Let's pass that peace to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you.
For illumination. Gracious God, living Word, as you revealed yourself to Mary that Easter morning, so reveal yourself to us. By the power of your Spirit, give each of us faith that hearing your Word, we too may proclaim, I've seen the Lord. Amen. Today's reading is from John 21, verses 1 through 19. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, We will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, Children, you have no fish, have you? They answered him, No. He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, and 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." Holy wisdom, holy words.
Will the children please join me up front? Based on the story that Mr. McCracken just read, some people used to think of communion as including fish, because Jesus served fish to the disciples when they were in fellowship. You know, sometimes we enjoy, particularly in this area, we like to get together and have fish together, don't we? And that's a good opportunity for fellowship. But you know one other thing about that story? Did you hear how many fish they caught? 153. That's a lot of fish, but you know that number is special. The reason that was in that story was it was believed at the time that there were 153 different kinds of fish. So what some scholars have said is what that story is saying is that God wants all of us, all kinds of fish, to come into his nets. Because you've heard that Jesus, when he called the disciples, he said, "I'm going to make you fishers of men." So, fishers of all kinds, all 153. Which means that each one of you, God loves. And God has given you gifts that make you special. And make you special to be able to serve others. All of us are called to be ministers of God. Let's pray together. Lord God, we are so grateful that you love each one of us and you've given each one of us special gifts. For we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
his priceless pearl. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son.
Love came at rapture dawn. Christ came a sacrifice. That whosoever believeth in him.
Our next reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, because they heard the voice, but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias?" He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days, he was with the disciples in Damascus. And immediately, he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When were you saved? This innocent-sounding question has bedeviled many a young Christian. Well-meaning evangelists who believe you are not saved if you cannot point to an exact moment, quote, "you saw the light," invoke fear of damnation. One of the reasons this practice developed was because of the dramatic conversion of Saul that we just read, often called the Damascus Road experience. This type of dramatic conversion has sometimes been craved by persons. It's a popular practice for evangelical pastors to tell their story of dramatic conversion. There are many books that begin with a life of drugs, violence, and depravity, only to result in a dramatic confrontation with God. In these stories, the reprobate finds Jesus and never looks back as he or she moves on to serve God. These stories make one wish they'd lived a life on the wild side so they could experience such a dramatic conversion. Wouldn't it be nice to have the assurance that comes with a great light and the voice of God from heaven saying, "Saul, Saul, why have you persecuted me?" It makes one wonder, is someone who experiences a less dramatic conversion equally saved? Simply stated, yes. The story of Paul's conversion comes in the book of Acts amidst a series of conversion stories of unlikely people. Paul is a Jew, but also an enemy of the way, the name the early Christians called the church. This story comes after the story of Simon, a Samaritan magician who tries to buy the power of the Holy Spirit and who repents and is saved through preaching and laying on of hands. This story of Saul's conversion comes after the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch who comes to God through reading the book of Isaiah and the teaching of Philip, who baptizes him in a ditch by the side of the road. The story of Saul's conversion comes immediately before the story of the conversion of Cornelius, another unclean Gentile who asked Peter to baptize him and his whole household. Peter's instructed by God in a vision not to call anything unclean which God has cleansed. One of the remarkable things about these stories from Acts and many others is how different they are. In some, baptism comes before the gift of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes baptism comes after the gift of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes laying on of hands comes before the Holy Spirit, and sometimes it comes after. The point is that any attempt to say that everyone must have the same experience is refuted. Baptism is not the same for everyone, and neither is conversion. This reminds me of the time a preacher tried to convert a bear. He preached to the bear. He taught the bear. Finally, the bear was baptized. One day, the preacher was walking through the woods, and the bear swatted the preacher and prepared to eat him. The preacher said to the bear, "I thought I taught you better than this." "Oh, yeah," said the bear. "God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for this food." God meets us where we are. If we're in Samaria performing magic, God comes to us through the servant Philip. If we're an Ethiopian eunuch reading Isaiah, God comes to us through Philip in a roadside ditch. If we're Cornelius and a household of Gentiles seeking God, God sends Peter, a reluctant Jew, as much to convert Peter to a new way of thinking as to convert the household. If we're an angry, determined enemy of Christianity like Saul, maybe light, God sends a great light, blindness, and a follow-up by a timid servant named Ananias. Maybe like Paul, we seek out other believers who help us grow in our faith in preparation for God's plan for our lives. There are some common factors in each of these conversions. First and foremost, God comes first. God comes to us first. God chooses us first. Paul did not suddenly make a decision after wrestling with his inner demons. God came to where Paul was on the road to Damascus. God came to Simon the magician on a city street in Samaria. God came to the Ethiopian eunuch on a wilderness road between Jerusalem and Gaza. God came to Cornelius in his house by the seaside through the Apostle Peter. Another factor in these conversion experiences from Acts is that conversion is merely the beginning of a journey, not a one-time event that solves everything. Conversion moves us from self-reliant, self-satisfied, self-confident, independent thinkers to persons reliant on God. Paul, who had it all figured out that the believers in Jesus Christ must be persecuted, was reduced to a blind man who, quote, had to be led by the hand, healed, and instructed, end quote. Conversion also changes the church as our enemies become our brothers. Ananias was called by God to assist Paul, the murderous persecutor of the way. Will Willimon, a Methodist bishop and author of a commentary on Acts, says it this way. Like Ananias, contemporary disciples must be ready to be surprised by God's transformation of our enemies into our brothers and sisters. For the church knows not who may be the recipient of the inscrutable choices of God. End quote. Jesus calls us. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. Jesus wants us to open the door and respond to the call. But what does responding to the call look like? In today's story, it involves Saul's blindness, healing, learning, baptism, and table fellowship with the church, and then following Jesus wherever he leads. For Ananias, responding to God's call meant saying the time-honored phrase, "Here I am, Lord," and then responding to the call, even when fearful. For each of us, that call may lead us to different places because we are gifted differently. But the call will lead us according to God's goals for the kingdom of heaven. Willimon continues by saying this, quote, "None of this should lead us to conclude that every conversion is basically the same. Paul's conversion is a story about a call, a specific call to someone who is chosen for specific divine mission. There's no indication that Luke attempted to make Paul's conversion a pattern for every Christian. Different people come to Jesus along different routes." End quote. Today, it's up to us to respond to Jesus' call by using our gifts in God's service. Like Ananias, it's up to us to listen to God's call and say, "Here I am, Lord." Whether we've traveled the path since we were very young while growing up in the church, or we've been called to the way by some dramatic event, God has called us. Each of us in our own individual way, God has called and is calling us. Today, all of us are called into ministry. All members of the congregation are ministers, not just me. Consider how you are called by Jesus and how you will respond. May the irresistible grace of Jesus Christ be very real to you, now and forevermore. Amen. Having heard the word preached and sung, we come to the table. This table is not First Presbyterian Church's table or PCUSA's table. It's the Lord's table. And Jesus invites everyone who seeks him to come. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west and from north and south and sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread and broke it. And then they recognized him. Their eyes were opened. This is the Lord's table. All are invited. Let's pray together. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and cup, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. In union with your church in heaven and on earth, we pray, O God, that you will fulfill your eternal purpose in us and in all the world. Keep us faithful in your service until Christ comes in final victory, and we shall feast with all your saints in the joy of your eternal realm. Great is the mystery of faith. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. So on the night of his arrest, Jesus took bread, and after having blessed it, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup. He said, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant, sealed in my blood." As often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the saving life, death, and resurrection of Jesus until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will the communion servers please come forward? Thank you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Let us pray. Holy One, we have tasted your goodness and savored your bounty. You have quenched our thirst and filled us with good things. We pray that your life and love in us will overflow, filling the earth with your justice, joy, and peace. Now that we have been fed, may we be bread, feeding your hungry children. In Jesus' name, amen. Now please stand as you're able and turn in your bulletin to the insert that has the affirmation of faith, the Nicene Creed. Let's say this together. What do you believe?
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Now please turn in your hymnal, Glory to God, hymnal, to number 720, Jesus Calls Us. Please be seated. There's only one Lord and God, from whom all things come and for whom we live. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our gifts to the Lord. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. We praise and thank you, Lord God, for the majesty of your work, the wisdom of your word, and the generosity of your grace. Let the gifts of our lives bear witness to your goodness and mercy, your faithfulness and justice, and your steadfast love for all people. Amen. Let us pray. Rejoicing in God's promise of new creation, let us pray to the Maker of heaven and earth, saying, O God of new life. We pray for the church. Give us glad hearts and full voices to sing glory and honor and blessing to you with all the saints around your throne. O God of new life, we pray for the world. Protect those who are the victims of violence, threats, and persecution. Convert oppressors to your way of peace. O God of new life, we pray for our communities. Help us to feed, tend, and care for those you have entrusted to us. Let our love show your love, O God of new life. We pray for the earth. Help us to find the least destructive ways to enjoy your creation. Heal the harm we have already done. O God of new life, we pray for loved ones. Remember all who suffer or grieve. Turn their mourning into dancing and their sorrow into joy. O God of new life, gracious God, keep us working and praying for the coming of your holy realm of peace, when we will share abundant life with you through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now please turn in your hymnal, your Glory to God hymnal, to number 518, Your Only Son. Please stand.
Please be seated. We have two more graduates to recognize who weren't able to be with us last week, and I will turn it over to Debbie.
Recognize Heidi Guevara. She is a music major who will be moving home and doing student teaching in the fall. So she is a December 2022 graduate. So this is our last Sunday with her. And then this is our wonderful fill-in tenor. How long have you been with us? 3 months? 2 months? He started as a music major but went into culinary. And when we were looking for a tenor, Heidi said, oh, I know a tenor. So this young man, James Seiler, came to be a part of our church family and our choir family. Even though he's not a music major, he has a lovely tenor voice, and he used it for our blessing, and I appreciate that about him. He will go do an internship this summer at the Marriott Hill Country Resort, and then we'll graduate in August from SFA. Would you please express our thanks to them? In addition, we have several other students. Would you please stand, students? Please stand. Come on, students. Students, Taylor. Yes. These students, well, this one won't be back, but these students will be back. So some are staying with us and doing a little bit of time in June, which we really are thankful for, but then they'll be back with us again next year. So we want to say thank you to all the students who help fill our choir. Okay. All right. Pastor wants to know the names. So, as I stand up, as I call your name, stand up and wave. How about that? Okay. So, starting over here in the bass is Josh Barnes. Thank you, Josh. Next to him is Christian Garcia. On the other side of Dave is Brooklyn Stackey. You've met Taylor. She graduates Saturday. And then we met James and Heidi. And then down at the front, we have our high school senior, Haley. And then, last but not least, Jocelyn Barnes. These are our students.
Thank you. I just wanted everybody in the congregation to know those who make such beautiful music for us each Sunday. Let's pray for our food before the benediction. Let's pray. Lord God, we are grateful for all your gifts, especially fried chicken. And Lord, we ask that you will bless this food that we're about to eat. Bless us to your service. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Having heard the word of God to you through the Holy Spirit, I charge you to go out into the world in peace. Let the irresistible grace of Jesus Christ move you as you find your special calling. Because you, yes, you, have been called. Go and serve the Lord. Pass the peace of Christ among you as you go. May the peace of Christ be with you. And now may the grace, mercy, peace and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.